Start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Father, I thank and praise you for the day now that you've given to us and for this day that's set aside where we come to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we thank you and praise you for it. We thank you, Father, for your word and for the teachings of it, for your guidance, for your direction, and just for everything that you do for us. We praise you for that. We thank you for how you watch over us and you take care of us and you meet our needs, and you're always there. We know that, Father, and you, sometimes we overlook it, but we know that you're always there, watching out over us and protecting us and just going before us. We thank you, Father, for even doing that for us. We thank you now, Father, for the lessons here that we've been learning here, Father, and I just ask your Spirit would just take full control, that your Spirit would just teach us your word. It was your Spirit, Father, we believe that wrote the word, and we just ask now, Lord, that you would just enlighten us through it here today, Father, that you would just be able to help us, give us the guidance and direction that we need. And Father, for the service to follow, for the message, Lord, that the pastor has prepared, we ask, Father, that you would just help him with that and let your Spirit take control there also. And Father, someone comes that's not saved, that they would get saved today, that you would just work in their heart, in their life, and just give them that life eternal. That we're all going to be able to enjoy. And so we just ask for your guidance that way too. We thank you now, Father, for just all things you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. You know your mom when you neatly stack up all the dirty dishes on the table after eating dinner in a restaurant. We're studying here what the qualities that makes a man a leader in the home, and we're going over the man right now. Ladies, your turn's coming, believe me. We'll get there sooner or later, but we're going over the man now, and we're taking it from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. And we're just showing the different aspects of it. Let me read the one here, and at least in 1 Timothy 3. It says, For this know ye also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men... No, that's not the one I want. That's 2 Timothy. I want 1 Timothy. Tell that right now. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy, a filthy lucre, but patience, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth his house well, with having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. So we started going over some of these here. We've gone over quite a few of them here already, but we're still going to go over some more. Just to back up here just a little bit for you, he said that he must be blameless. We went over that there, and we told you about blameless, like, you know, if somebody accuses you of something, just like Jesus was accused of, and he was blameless. You know, that's the way it was. He didn't do it, you know, but they still can accuse you. He must be blameless. He said he must be the husband of one wife. He has to have a good relationship with his wife. He's got to stay away from temptation, keep close to God, keep your mind clean, work hard for God. The husband of one wife there that he said. He must be vigilant. He must be alert and careful at all times that the devil out there, that he's out here trying to take you down however he can. And he's got to be, the man has to be vigilant for that. He's got to be checking it out at all times, watching how the devil does work his things out here. Then he said it must be sober, and that's someone that's serious and prudent and wise. He's got to be wise enough to listen to God, read the Word of God, let the Word of God talk to you, teach you, and learn from it. He's got to be wise enough to learn from the godly. You got to learn from godly people also. You know, watch them and learn from them. You know. Those different kinds of aspects. He must be wise enough to be careful in what he says. You got to be careful in what you say, especially around your children and things like that there. Watch yourself. Then the next thing there, he said, you have to be of good behavior. Someone that can that it says means orderly. That is what the word meant. You know, he can do the right thing at the right time in the right way. He can be given a job that he'll be able to be given that job, and he'll be able to do it and do it the right way. Next thing is he must be given to hospitality. He has to love people. He has to help people out. He has to be one of those kind of people. And then here where we started the last time and we left off, it says he must be apt to teach. Must be apt to teach. He's got to be willing to teach. We've gone over that just a little bit there the last time. And you can't teach what you don't know. You got to learn it. And it's one of them things that you learn. You got to learn it. And where we left off is right here, where I'm going to pick it up here today. You got to learn from others. Pastor, 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. Dan, go to 2 Timothy. No, wait a second. That's not right. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, 13. And Dan, would you go to 1 Peter 3, 15? Nathan, Deuteronomy 4, 9. And Danny, Galatians 6, 1. Okay. And Corby's coming, so I'm going to get him to get Mark 16:15. That's what happens when you take off and leave. You got to learn from others. 1 Timothy 4:13.
Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation to doctrine.
He tells him, Paul's telling Timothy here, till I come, he says, go to the reading, learn. You got to learn. You got to learn from others. It's a good way to learn. Reading God's word. You want to learn? You want to read God's word? Want to learn from others? Let them teach you. You need to teach, but you also need to be teachable. You see, same thing with kids, with your kids. You're going to teach them. But you know what? I heard Corby tell me that he's learned from his son already, from the books and stuff that he's read. And he says, well, I didn't know some of them things. And he tells me this. You can learn them. You old guys, you can learn from anybody. You can learn. It's just one of them things. Learn from whoever you know. Just be wise about it. A wise man will increase in learning. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Listen, you can learn. That's a wise man. That's what a wise man does. You can learn. Learn from others. I'm learning right now. Everybody wants me to retire. I'm not retiring. Why should I retire? What good is it going to do me? I'm learning right now. Well, right now I'm learning what surveyors put on stakes, and all surveyors are different. It's nuts. It is crazy. They need a book that has abbreviations in it so that you can learn the abbreviations that they put on the sticks, because I got to be asking questions all the time. And that's how you learn, gentlemen. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to. Same way with the Word of God. Ask questions. Some of you do. Nate, you asked me a question. I just remembered. I forgot to look that up. I'm sorry. That just hit me. But you got to ask questions. You have to. You got to ask questions. I ask questions all the time. I drive the guys nuts at work, but I ask questions. My boss, that at work where I'm at right now, but it's got to make sense. And he's kind of wise at his teaching. He'll say, "Now, what is that? What do you think that is?" And then I'll tell him. He says, "Are you sure?" Then he walks away from you. You figure it out. The other day I had one. We had one there. Just for the learning process here, just for an example, we had one there. It said a cut five feet. They're cutting 5 feet. We're making a ditch. We're going to cut 5 feet at one end. The other end we're cutting 7 feet. And we were trying to figure out how in the world are we going to set up a string line so that we can shoot that, because up here we're up here at 5 feet, but we're down here at 7 feet, and our stakes are only about 2 feet long. And we were trying to figure that out. And then the guy's saying to me, and I said, "You're messing my mind up." He's saying, "You got to go up." I said, "You sure? Don't we have to get out?" "No, we got to go up." Okay, let's go up then. So we were measuring up, and we were trying to do it. And he come up to us and said, "Are we doing this right?" He said, "No, you got to go down." And the arrow is pointing down, and he said, "Now you guys do it." So We did it. We were smart. We just used the stakes. We didn't use a string line. We used the stakes and we shot it and we got it for them. But as I was rolling the string up, I walked up and I said, "You dummy, Dean. It says down. Down means down. That's what it is." I walked down to him. I said, I learned it. He said, I said, "It's down." He says, "Right." He says, "Now you'll remember it." And he's right. You'll remember that now. He didn't teach me. He tried to teach me, but he said, "I'm walking away. I'll be around. You ask me a question." And we learned it. So, you know, it's just one of them things. You learn from others. You learn from others. Everybody has, you know, different ways and things like that, but you can learn from others. Put them together. I like to watch. That's how I learn from others. I like to watch. We have a guy that can take a grader, and I think he can turn it upside down and grade. He's that good. I mean, he is excellent. I watch him day in and day out because I love running graders, and I love just to seeing what some guys can do. He can take that thing and twist it and turn it and everything else. You know, they actually twist in the center and stuff, and you can twist and turn them. You get sharper turns and everything else. It's just amazing what that guy can do with it. And I just stand there and watch in amazement. I think, oh, yeah, you know. But you learn from others. That's how I learn. I watch others myself. You know, you can learn by watching. Listen to others. You can listen to from others and learn that way. And then reading. Check it out. Reading, check it out. What does the pastor say to us all the time, especially on Wednesday nights? Check me out. Make sure that I'm right. I tell you the same thing. Check me out. Make sure that I'm right. Check it out. And you have to, it's just one of them things. You check it out. You learn it out. Hey, the internet is good in certain ways, and you can learn from it. You know, I get on there, and there's times where if I'm confused on a car that I'm trying to figure out a car, I'll get on there and I read the different things that's on there that people had problems with it. And you know, there's a lot of times that I can fix the car just because of learning what I've read, checking it out, learning it. You know, and so, you know, that's how you can learn. I'm trying to stress this teaching, this that you'll be able, you're apt to teach. I that's why I'm staying here a little bit on this, because I think it's an important thing. It's one of the most important things here, I believe, that Timothy was, or that Paul was trying to tell Timothy. You got to be apt to teach. You guys has got to be apt to teach your children. You know, you got to teach them. You got to listen to them. You got to be patient with them when you're teaching them. It's just one of them things that you have to do. You know, if you don't pay no attention to them, you don't have patience with them, you holler at them all the time and stuff like that, you're not teaching them nothing. You know, they want to learn. That's why they came and asked you the question. Hey, Dad, why do we read the Bible all the time? What's going to be your answer? Dad, why do we go to church all the time? What's going to be your answer? You're just going to blow it off? Or are you going to tell them? We're learning about God. We're learning about heaven. We're learning where we're going to be living when we die. And it's going to be a great place. You know, explain it to them. Take the time and explain it to them. Some of you asked questions. You know, I asked you to write questions down, and you want to teach your children so that your children will teach their children, and their children will teach their children. Well, it starts off with you. You're the one. You've got to teach them. If you don't teach them, how do you expect it to not happen? You've got to teach them. I think this is important. This is something that's very important to teach. You've got to teach your children. You got to teach them. The other day, I mean, I have there's a 26-year-old that's working with me. He does not know addition and subtraction. Now, you think that that may be stupid, but that's important. That was important to me. I took the time, and we were laying out sidewalks, and I took the time to show him, you know, the addition and subtraction. He told me that he was in special ed in school, and math was one of his worst problems. Well, first of all, that really got me that he was in special education. That gave me the more incentive to teach him. And I told him, I said, look, if you got to count it out here in your fingers, you count it out in your fingers. And he was counting it out on his fingers. If you have the concrete's supposed to be 4 inches, and this is what we were figuring out. Your concrete has to be 4 inches. And we were measuring down what we had, the grade that was there right now. I said, so we have 7 inches here. The concrete's supposed to be 4 inches. How much fill do we need? You know, sometimes it's them stupid trick questions that they put in these tests and stuff, you know, where they want you to think, but sometimes they're stupid. I told him, I said, you just have to be careful here. I said, you can do this subtract or add. I said, however you want to do it. And so I said, what do you want to do? So I told him to subtract it. I said, what do you have? And he's counting it out on his fingers. Yeah, 3 inches of fill. That's what you need. 3 inches. So that's what we put on there, plus 3 inches. You know, I said, what, 4 plus what makes 7? Or 4 from 7 is what? You know, I tried to explain it to him. And then I said, now, let's do it together. Let's do it together. So that's what we did. We went down the line and we did it together. You know, it started clicking with him. He had to count it out on his fingers, but it started clicking. Hey, he thanked me for that. You know, and you know, that kind of makes you feel good that you tried to train somebody or tried to teach somebody something. You know, that's what I mean. It's so important. Learn from others. You know, teach. That's just one of them things. It may be true that not all readers are leaders. It is true that all leaders are readers. Don't be afraid to read. Don't be afraid to check it out. You know, that's how you learn. Even us old guys, I'll include myself in it, can learn. You know, and you can. You can. You can learn. Gentlemen, you can learn. Okay? The next thing here is make what you learn a part of you. 1 Peter 3:15. Give an answer to every man. He says, be prepared to give an answer to every man. Dan, since you read that, I'm going to use you just a little bit. I'm not going to say what it was. But Dan here was telling me a little story about a question that was asked him that he learned from the church here, from the pastor, on, you know, some Bible things. And he told me, he said, and he explained it. I mean, I couldn't have never explained the answer the way he explained it. He had it right down perfect. He learned that, and he could explain it. And I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. You know, that's just something that he learned. But he had to learn it first. You see, he had to learn it first. He had to learn it from the pastor. He had to learn from the pastor how that, you know, what the Bible had to say about this and how to explain this. And he's got it now. He's not going to lose it. You see, he's not going to lose it. So, what make a part of what you learn a part of you. You know, whatever you learn, make it a part of you. It's just, it's something, you know, that's very important. You know, you make it a part of you, and then you'll be able to take it and pass it on to your children. You know, you guys that's teaching your children right now, you'll be able to do that. You know, so whatever you learn, make it a part of you. You know, you keep it. It's just something that I always say, okay, it's in the computer here now. Now I got it. You know, and I won't lose it. And I don't. You know, it's just one of the things. Once that you learn it, you know, put it in your computer and then, you know, make it a part of you is what you have to do. And then the last thing here that you have to do is you have to pass on what you learn. Pass it on. Don't keep it all to yourself. You got some of these guys. Hey, there's guys out here that they won't tell you nothing. And you guys have gone through that. You see it, you know. They know how to do it, but you think that they'll teach you? You think that they'll train you? I work for a company that they expect you to know everything constantly all the time, and you don't know it. They just expect you to go out here and do it. And I do get a little upset about that, and I do get a little upset with the white hats, and I do get a little upset and tell them, and that's just the way it is. Because they're the ones that's supposed to know it. Not my color hat, their color hat's supposed to know it. and they're supposed to teach me, you know. But you to pass it on what you learn. I try to pass on what I learn. I try to pass it on to my kids, you know, so that they can learn. And you know, if you pass it on, if somebody passes something on to you, you learn it, you know. Maybe you can learn it a little bit different. Maybe you can learn it a little bit better. You know, I like somebody to teach me to do something, and then I'm thinking constantly all the time, can I do this a little faster this way or that way? You know, pass on what you learn, you know. Deuteronomy 4:9, pass it on to your family.
Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons.
It passes on down if you teach it. You know, if you learn it, you teach it. They can teach it also. It can be passed on down. That's what he's saying. Pass it on to your family. The next one here is pass it on to the backslider. Galatians 6:1. You see that you're to help them out, someone that's a backslider, but do it in the spirit of meekness, so that you're not being tempted the same way. Do it in the spirit of meekness, but help them out. If somebody, you know a brother that's a backslider or something like that, they come to you, or you know, you go to them and you talk to them, help them out. You know, give them the word of God, help them out, try to show them, teach them, you know, what's right, what's wrong. And there's times where they won't pay no attention to you. You know, God has to sometimes just take them and put them so down so far till they finally come around. Then they'll come around. But, you know, sometimes you just don't know what you may have to say to them that may help them out. And the last thing here is teach it to the lost, Mark 16:15.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
You're to pass it on. See that? Pass it on. Teach it to every creature, you know. Teach it to them. Be ready for them. I work with a guy that I constantly got to be on my toes, because he loves to dig religion into me. And so I just give him scripture anymore. That's all I do. I give him scripture, you know. And, you know, it shuts him up. Hopefully it gives him something to... His wife's a Methodist, he told me, and I think he's a Catholic. You know, those two don't even go together, period. But, you know, there they are, you know, and he's telling me about the Catholic religion. I said, oh, yeah. I said, the Catholics, I said, yeah, they don't want you to know the Bible. They don't want you to give the word. They want to give it to you, and you're just the one that's supposed to, you're the one that's supposed to be the dumbbell of it, you know, and they're the ones that's supposed to be so intelligent about it. And oh, that gets his goat then, too, you know. Oh, they let you read the Bible. I said, sure, they let you read the Bible. I said, sure. I said, do they explain it to you? Well, no, they don't explain it to you. They don't want you to learn it. So we go back and forth a little bit about religion, you know, all the time. But you've got to teach it to the lost. He's lost. I know he's lost. You know, what's that verse I gave him the other day? It's just a child's verse. Well, it's not a child's verse, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I said, do you see that? The only way that you can get to heaven, get to God, is go through Jesus Christ. I said, Jesus was saying that. I said, that's it, period. And I'd left it off right there at that. Give them an answer. Teach it to the lost. You know, teach them what you learn. Hey, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, so there's nothing that I can say but accept the word of God to them. You know, maybe it'll pierce his heart one of these days. So, learn. Be apt to teach, he's saying here. I know he's saying it for the desire of a bishop, and also he's talking here of us men, I believe, you know, because we need to be teachable. We need to teach and be teachable ourselves. Questions or comments on that before I move on? Okay. The next one here we're going to go over. It's maybe boring to you, but it's in the Word of God here, and I'm going to teach it. That's the way it is. And you've heard it before, and I'm not saying that any of you have a problem with it, But if you do have a problem, or if you know somebody that does have a problem, maybe you can help them with it after we go through this. But he says he must not be given to wine. Let's see, who did I like? Chad. Proverbs 21, 20, verse 1.
Yeah.
Right. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And he who is deceived thereby is not wise. What more can I say? You know, what more can I say? A leader, he needs his senses. A leader needs all his senses at all the time. Just not part of the time. All the time. He doesn't throw them away by using alcohol or some kind of drugs, you know. And so, well, we're going to go over here a little bit. How can you break the habit? Let's see. Keith, would you go to Proverbs 28:13? And let's see. You know, we'll stop right there. Well, Ron, go to Romans 8:13. Okay, so you must, first of all here, how do you break the habit? You got to be sincere. Proverbs 28:13.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
See, that's the problem of the person. They want to cover their sin. They want to cover it. It's okay as long as we can cover it. If the sin's there and we can cover it and nobody catches us, it's fine. But God knows all the time. They don't realize that. You know, you have to admit the problem. You know, that's the first thing here you got to do. You got to stop covering and you got to confess. That's what they have to do if they have a problem with it. If you know somebody that has a problem with it, you know, try to help them out if you can. You got to confess the problem. You got to confess that the problem is sin. It's sin. You know, there's Christians out here today that think that social drinking's great. There's nothing the matter with it. But when you read wine is a mockery, strong drink is raging, and he who drinketh it is not wise, what's that saying? I mean, you can't. It's right there, you know. You shouldn't be even doing it, period. Confess your sin. It's a problem. It's a problem. Repent of your sin. You have to repent of it then once that you realize that it is a sin. And then you got to turn from sin. Romans 8:13.
For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Mortify there means put to death or separate that sin from the flesh. You see. You're living in the Spirit, just like the Brother Bard said here last Sunday morning in Sunday school. Let the Spirit take full control of you. Don't live after the flesh. We have been born in the flesh. We want to live after the flesh. But once we got saved, the Spirit of God comes and indwells within us. Now just turn your life over to the flesh. You have lots of verses that tell you that. Turn your life over to the Spirit of God, and the flesh will decrease. Let the Spirit of God teach you. It's the Spirit of God. Keith, go ahead.
I'm troubled by, in verse 8, the word much before wine.
Where's that at?
Of 1 Timothy 3.
Oh, 1 Timothy 3. Okay. Not given too much wine. Well, back in their days, I think that was a lot of their drink, was wine. And, yeah, I understand. Some of the things that people bring up to you is, you know, use a little wine for the stomach's sake, you know, if you're sick or something like that there. And then they take that and so, oh, you can drink now, you know. It's okay to drink it, you know. Go ahead.
Wine was not. We have this misconception as Christians that it's okay to drink wine. When we put alcohol to our lips, it is sin. And And every time we do it is sin, and God doesn't like that. When Jesus made water to wine, it was not alcoholic beverage. It was grape juice, and grape juice was considered wine at that time. And we get this idea that it's okay to have a little drink of wine with our dinner. And you know what? It's sin.
Go ahead.
You know what it says in Proverbs? It says, give the first fruits of all that increase, you know, to the Lord. And, of course, it's talking about the tithe there. And it says, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, presses, when it comes right out of the press, that's grape juice. And it says also in Proverbs 23, it says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red.
Mm-hmm.
When it moveth itself aright. That moveth itself aright is the fermentation process of alcohol. It says, don't even look at it. Let alone have it. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. They have stripped me, thou shalt say. I was not sick. They beat me, and I felt it not. Of course, it's speaking of drunkenness here.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what that leads to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't look at it, you won't get drunk.
Anybody else?
People look at it. Back in the Old Testament, a lot of times they would have leather pouches, glass, they would call it. And they even talked about not putting it into an old glass because it had already saturated with those things and it would turn to an alcoholic beverage. So they always used new leather, new glass, if you will, in the order. But people want to have the excuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's huge today. I mean, there's institutions that are saying, coming out and saying, it's okay to drink alcohol. Moody Bible Institute, one of them. Bob Jones didn't say it was okay, but they had a guy write a book and say, hey, you know, and they made him, thank the Lord, Bob Jones made him take the book back off the shelf, rewrite that section, and put it out there. I guess let me just say that that's hearsay. But from what I understand, then that erased that mark or whatever on Bob, one of Bob Jones' faculty.
And I agree with everything that's being said there. It's just the word "much" still bothers me in that verse. What's the purpose of if you know if it was the grape juice, then was there a problem?
Go ahead.
I think sometimes when we look at it, we automatically assume that it was alcoholic. And if you read it that way and you think of it as grape juice, he could be referring to gluttony. And that many...
covetousness.
But gluttony is an issue as well. And just being fleshly, being given to your flesh and being given to much wine... you understand that?
Yeah, I do.
And not being moderate and temperate, and just part of the fruit of the Spirit, a man who gets up behind the pulpit who is extremely obese. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, heredity or anything like that, but who has made himself that way sometimes has less. You understand what I'm saying? And he's not as controlled by the Spirit in other areas of his life, and maybe that's.
Because mm-hmm.
Verse 3 was very specific, not given to wine. And then that word.
How do you explain that, Pastor? You knew I was going to get you.
Yeah. Well, in the first day, I have a problem with alcohol before I was saved. God delivered me from that. And I believe in total abstinence. That said, I also understand that alcohol in Bible times was used as a medicine. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and that often infirmities. Proverbs 30, I believe it is, also makes reference to wine being used for medicinal purposes. There are medicines
that we take today, over-the-counter medicines that contain alcohol in them, cough medicines oftentimes. And, you know, I don't feel that that's a violation of the scriptures by taking that that alcohol in that context. So that said, I think that's the idea of the much wine. You know, yeah, there's a time when you can use it, when used properly. But there's always the danger, as with any medication, of that thing becoming a problem in your life. Morphine is used. I've had morphine. I can't take it because it makes me sick. But people can become addicted to morphine. And other types of drugs as well that are used in a controlled situation for a specific purpose. And I think alcohol can fit into that role as well. And so I believe that would be the way to explain that much there in verse 8. Now why it's different from verse 3, I can't really give an answer to that.
And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why is the two connected? That gives you something to think about.
And the idea there is both of those things can control you. Wine can control you. The Spirit of God can control you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the relationship there. Be controlled by this rather than by this.
Right. Yep. Chad.
In Titus, Paul gives Titus the same false teaching, verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. So why he tells Titus different than Timothy, I can't explain it.
Well, if you see there in verse 8, what he's saying about, he's talking to the deacons, not the bishop. And why he tells that for the deacons, I don't know. But I agree. That was my thought always about wine. It was not alcoholic beverage. When Jesus turned the water into wine, that was not alcoholic. I think that was grape juice. But somebody put me down one time and told me, well, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, which I don't even, that's when I threw the Strong's Concordance away. But if you look at wine up in the Strong's Concordance in any of them verses, it says an alcoholic beverage. And I don't believe it. I will not believe it. Somebody will not, But like I said, I was put down one time, big time, about that. So, and that was a Christian that put me down. Wait a minute, Corb first.
I'm just going to say, not even to have the appearance of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, Ben.
Now, I'm going to say this without going back and studying this, and I will if I need to, no doubt. From what I understand, the fermentation process of alcohol in the Old Testament and today did put a degree of alcohol into the drink. But in 19, whatever it was, we came up with the modern day distillation process, which makes the vodka and the 100 proof and 80 proof and whatever proof there is that is really the next thing to poison. And so they didn't even have what we have today to make it as strong as what it is in this very day. And I do have, I believe I can get documentation to back that up also.
Okay. Pastor now.
The wine is a generic term. It does, it can be used either as grape juice or as the fermented beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, you've got to look at the context in the Bible to find out what usage is there.
Nate?
Pastor, I'd like you to clarify. Now, when you said it's okay, alcohol's okay as a medicinal use,
mm-hmm.
I understand that. But what about if we just use it for a social drink?
I don't believe that's right. They say that 1 in every 10 people has the potential to become an alcoholic. So if you take a drink for social purposes or whatever, mm-hmm. as a beverage, you have 1 in 10 chance mm-hmm. of going down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. And that's not one I think any wise person, you know, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
He's not wise, he's a fool. Go ahead.
That's the other thing to this too. Okay, God called me to preach his word. No doubt about that. But I'm telling you right now, if somebody saw me somewhere with a beer in my hand or any bit of alcohol, do you think anybody's going to say anything about that? The whole valley, no. And I'll tell you another thing too. And you know how I know that? Because the preachers that do drink, people tell you that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a mark in their mind. They'll bring up a preacher and say, oh yeah, well I saw him or I saw her doing this or that. And buddy, that's a mark on them. Why? Because folks know. It's a matter of conscience. Even among the lost.
Even on his head.
You remember, this is the Catholic Church now. Okay, the Catholic. You remember when we did that home out there in Clarence? We were doing a church, and then where the pastor lived, and we were putting windows in his house, and we had to take our shoes off and put these little booties on because we weren't allowed to walk in his house with our shoes on. First of all, so I wouldn't change the windows on the inside. I changed them on the outside. Because I wasn't putting booties on. But I'm not kidding you, sitting right there on his table where he ate was all kinds of alcoholic beverages. And I'm not kidding you, I know for a fact that when he came from morning mass, that man was drunk then. And then he would come there and give us a hard time yet besides, and we knew he was drunk. Yeah, with a cigarette in his hand. So, you know, I'm just pointing that out to you where how different religions, you know, can take wine or strong drink or anything like that there and, you know, make it okay. Go ahead. Yeah, and I had the one kid that I was telling you about today here that I was trying to teach him addition and subtraction. He goes to the Catholic Church and he goes to confession every Saturday. Yeah, Saturday night he told me, and he just said down there. He said, you know, they were talking about sin and different things like that. He says, oh, he said you can sin. He said, and then he says the next day you can just go and confess it. Then it's okay. See what they think about it? See, I mean, that's religions. That's why you need to know what's in this word. And then you need to live by it and let the Spirit of God take control of you. They just want to live after the flesh, you know, and then, oh, this makes it feel good when I go tell somebody else about it, you know, and he says, oh, go and sin no more, you know. So, I got to stop here. Questions or comments? I didn't think that this was going to go that far, but it's fine. Okay. Father, I thank and praise you for the day. I thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Father, for your teaching and just for your word and the different things and aspects about it. And we just ask, Lord, as we're learning here, Lord, of some of the things here, Lord, that we need to be leaders in the home, Lord, that we've got to be wise about it, and we got to go by your teachings here. And help us to learn some of the different aspects of it, dear Father, even your words and things like that, dear Father, so that we don't have questions in that. So help us, dear Father. Guide us in direction. We need you, Father. We need you. And praise and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.